can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone.
Now, let's start the timer. Anthony, how do you feel today?
I'm tired. I'm so tired today. I just got back from vacation yesterday.
Relatable.
Oh, I know. I feel like we're both in that same boat today. We got back from vacation yesterday and got unpacked, got ourselves situated, and it was like 8 p.m. by the time I, or no, it was almost 9 p.m. by the time I sat down and had dinner. I had to be up again this morning at, you know, 6 to go to work. So,
how fun.
Yeah, it's great. I have so little time off that spending a week with family eats up basically over half of my time for the year.
Sounds like a job.
Yeah, it's just annoying to know that our, you know, parents and their parents before them could take whole months off at a time.
But we're going on holiday, dear.
I know, and then you see America Now, and this is it. So, yay.
Why would you do that when you could be at work making rich people more money? Silly.
I know. You know, I'm just a little embittered about it right now. It was a good vacation. I just, you know, we've got another one coming up here the end of August, and that will eat up the rest of my vacation for the year.
Oh, how fun. And,
yeah, so, and it's just one of those things where, like, I need to get better at protecting my time whenever I do stuff like this so that I can accomplish some of the things that I want to do when I'm on vacation.
Right.
And it's really difficult when you visit family because I really want to spend as much time with family as I can, especially when it's family that I don't get to see that often. This is Joe's parents and sister and her boyfriend, and we don't see them but maybe once a year.
Right.
So I wanted to try to spend as much time as possible with them while we were there. But then, of course, you know, you have great intentions for a vacation, but it just feels like, you know, you're going a lot because you only have a week. So you get settled in one spot and then you're there for a day or two, and then you get settled in another spot and you're there for a day or two. And that's just kind of how it rolled. And, you know, it was a good vacation. It was really great seeing everybody. I'm ready for the weekend, but then I also know that we've got Pride stuff coming up this weekend. And so, like,
oh, yeah,
it's just like a roll right back into a whole bunch of being busy. And so, yeah, I'm just trying to, like, not get worked up over the prospect of everything that I have to do.
Yeah.
And with the also the idea of things that I want to do that aren't getting done. So, anyways, how are you, Jay? We haven't talked in a little while.
I get all that. I'm fucking tired. So Sunday I was in my fields and I don't know what was up, but it was just kind of a down day for me. And I ended up basically going to like coffee shop
shops and restaurants and sitting on their patios a while and reading a book. And it was a wonderful, wonderful day for me mentally. And then all of a sudden Monday came and I'm right back into the rush of life. And I'm exhausted because last night I got spontaneously last minute invited to the game 5 of the Thunder game, which was super fucking fun and super exciting. But that exerted so much energy. And then you're up late, you know, leaving the game and all that shit. And so, like, today I've been dragging on a foggy mind, but I've been so productive in doing shit. Like, it's been insane. And I also, like, was on a huge calorie deficit today and didn't realize how deep it was until I was getting ready for this podcast and things just weren't going right. And I was getting, like, really upset. And I was like, you have only had, like, 400 calories today, so you should probably eat something.
Yeah, we just got back from the gym. I'm noticing the same thing for myself because I was trying to get stuff ready for this. And every little thing was upsetting me way more than it should.
Yeah. So I had some leftover. I had a leftover club sandwich, actually, from my Sunday little outing. And that helped me a ton. I already feel substantially better.
Nice.
What are you making today, by the way?
You guys have seen me make this probably several, many times at this point, which it's our general meal prep, which is roasted veggies, chicken cooked on the stovetop, and then some rice. That's it.
Nice.
Yeah. Just, I like a good, plain, like, veggie dense lunch because veggies in my book are unlimited.
Hell so, yeah.
I can load my lunch up with a bunch of veggies. I can feel full, be full, and not overconsume calories or fats or cholesterol. Exactly. Yeah.
I went really easy today.
Yeah, I was about to ask you what you're making.
All I'm doing is making my summer pasta salad so I can have it on the side with some of my chicken randomly. It's like a little bit higher calorie, but not terrible.
It's funny because I'm watching you cut that cucumber, and in my head, I'm like, oh, my God, when I go to cut cucumber, I'm just like, ah.
Okay, so this is the only dish I'm making for the entire hour that we're recording.
Fair.
Fair. What I'm doing is going really slow in everything I'm doing. Because this morning, whenever I was like, okay, you need to order ingredients for something to make tonight, I was like, you're going to make one dish. And also, we'd originally planned for 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. We had talked about that, and then we realized we're on break from Beards and Sundries next week, and so we decided to give ourselves a break from all podcasting next week.
And so it worked out perfectly, but you're going to be watching me very, very slowly prepare this summer pasta salad that I like to make, but it's one of my favorite recipes. And I think what I'm going to do is publish a cookbook because I've always wanted to do that, whether it's for me or for anyone else to buy. And nice. So I think this is going to be one of my recipes in it because it's very simple.
That's awesome. It's funny that you mentioned that because my grandmother on my dad's side, hang on, I'll grab something. Her family, very big into cooking, she gave me this.
Oh, how fun.
And it is a book of family recipes. And I still reference it regularly to this day. Specifically, she gave it to me because she made these cookies that I just love every single, like, Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these white chocolate orange cookies.
Mm, yum.
Yeah, and so she's got her handwritten notes there because apparently they printed it wrong. And so they got, like, some of the quantities and missed some stuff. And anyway, so she passed away several years ago from ALS. And so now I make them just around every holiday just to have a little piece of, you know, nostalgia for myself.
Perfect. That's cute. Yeah, mine... I always kind of wanted to because, you know, there's lots of recipes that I have that I like. And so I was like, wouldn't it just be fun if I pushed it into my own little cookbook? And if people want to buy it, awesome. If not, it's for me.
It's for you. Yeah. Well, you know what's extra funny about that is while we were on vacation, Joe's sister specifically is very big into like cooking, and she's a real foodie. And so I made this avocado pico while we were there with some of the stuff she had, because she was making tacos for the evening. And I was like, I want to help. What can I do? And she had all these ingredients, and I was like, I can make an avocado pico. And then I did. And I've never made this before. I just kind of threw it together.
Right.
Jay, this is one of the best like appetizers I have ever made. It was nice. So good. I could not get over it. I was like, I cannot believe how tasty this was.
I always love that. Especially when you just make up something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is that's so rewarding about like something I do comes out good and people like it.
I think it was more the fact that I liked it as much as I did, that I cared about, which is funny because, you know, I don't get super worked up about what other people think of my food anymore. Anymore.
Oh, my God. Say anymore.
It's more of a, I can taste my own food, and usually I can tell what is good and what's not good. And I'll call it out to myself, and it's really just me making a mental note of what I need to do differently next time. Mm-hmm. Like, no, it's good, it's fine. I'm like, no, bitch, I can taste it too. I got taste buds. I know what this tastes like. I know when something's burnt.
I hate when people do that, and I'm just like, no. So I'm not like exactly self-criticizing. Yeah. What I'm doing is reminding myself that, hey, this was something that was wrong about it that you want to improve because you know you can make it better.
Exactly. And so, you know, it's not necessarily being hard on myself. It's just me making little mental notes.
Exactly. And I make them all the time.
There was that one time in March that I almost had a full mental breakdown because I made bad pizza crust. So that was a whole experience.
Oh, man. God, there is nothing worse to me than whenever I cook for people and whatever I make doesn't come out good.
It was that and the fact that it was like for Joe's birthdays and one of our friends, like they have their birthdays a day apart, so we always celebrate them together. And I made this crust that I thought was going really well. And then I made her pizza crust first, or got it all out first because we have a pizza oven. And it did not go well. And it wasn't explicitly that was the problem. I think I just had a lot of stuff going on. But well, I was like on a precipice, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me. I'm getting emotional about this goddamn pizza crust. So anyways, that's the last food meltdown I had. And that was all the way back in March. So, you know, I'm doing great.
I was like, I do it. If I'm stressed, then that kind of stuff will set me off super duper easy.
I like it when it's for somebody and it turns out bad, you know?
Ugh, telling me.
Like, and it's not even all the time like that. I had a friend that I was going to make gumbo for, and I burnt the roux. And I was just like, yeah, I burnt the roux, you guys. Like, we should probably order pizza.
Trying to remember what last I messed up on that just, like, really set me off. It would have had to have been a little over a year ago, because it would have been when I was with my ex.
That's just wild.
Because I haven't cooked for anyone, and, like, you guys come over, and normally I'm just like, fuck it, I don't want to do shit, so we're ordering pizza or something like that.
Which is perfectly fine by me, because I get it. I don't feel like I want to make people necessarily go out of their way to cook for me unless they're just really wanting to.
Because I don't know, I'm getting to the point where life's busy and fuck it. I don't want to stress about things for no reason. Like, it's going to make my experience bad if I'm stressing. So I'm just like, nope, got to make this easier.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like I'm getting a little bit more there as well. I used to really worry that people would be upset if I didn't do certain things.
Oh, my God. The fact that I used to think people would think negatively of me for ordering food rather than cooking myself. But that actually, wow, that water is boiling. That falls back on my mother, actually.
Oh, yeah. Was she a lot? Is she still like that? Does she do that?
She's very much the, you need to, people are lazy these days and you need to like cook your own meals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so like she always criticized people for not home cooking meals because they're being unhealthy and things. And so that was embedded in me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, oh, no. Other people just aren't stay-at-home moms.
Yeah. Well, and that's real fucking true because, Lord knows, I got up at 6 this morning after flying in from Florida yesterday, getting ourselves all the way unpacked, getting settled in and eating a late dinner, going to bed at like maybe 11, I think. I can't remember exactly. And then moving up, you know, today at 6, going and doing my full shift at work, catching up on things there. I had to come home on lunch because we had a storm today. And
oh,
I
yeah.
came home to check on the dogs just to see if they were good because this is the first day they've been by themselves since, you know, my parents were staying at the house while we were gone. And then ran back to lunch, finished my shift up, got off work, came home, and got around to go to the gym, did a few things around the house before then. We went to the gym, came back, showered, changed, got ready for this, fed the dogs, and now I'm here. And I probably won't be done with all of this until probably 9-ish tonight. And so it's just go, go, go. And like, when do people really have time to do all that anymore, you know?
I mean, that's it. Like, do you know how much laundry I really need to do?
I do, because I'm doing laundry while we're doing this. I forgot that was also part of what I was doing.
I forgot to start mine, which I had planned on doing, and now it just dawned on me that I'd forgot to start it.
Yeah, I've got our comforter in the wash right now because our dog Finster gets scared of storms and likes to jump on our bed, and he sheds a lot.
Oh, yes.
He's not normally loud up there, but anyways. But I don't know, I feel like those expectations of people and thinking that they should do those things for you are extremely not, you know, I don't know. I don't feel like you should even have expectations if people are inviting you over unless they tell you explicitly to expect something. And even then, like, if somebody invites me over for dinner and they're like, yeah, we're going to be cooking. And then I get there, like, I don't want to fucking cook. We're ordering pizza. I'll be like, sweet. Fantastic. Thank you for pizza.
Yeah, I'm literally that person that'd be like, you know what? I get you.
I don't think it's, you know, fair to expect someone to host you and then hold them up to all these different expectations. You know, it's not like, I don't want them to like, I don't want to go in there and be like, you know, then throw their crap at me or something. Like their literal crap at me, but you know, somebody's feeding me, or we're gonna like, I'll split the cost for people. Like, well, we can order pizza. I don't care. I don't know, but I get why people used to have that expectation. It's because that's how they were raised.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's wild to me how much I've broken that now. Because like, I feel like this show is the only reason I cook anymore.
You know, if it weren't for this show today, I would not be doing this.
And yeah, I just like, I forgot, ironically, how much I actually enjoy it when it comes out really nice and I get to share it with people. And so I've been kind of enjoying making recipes that I can share a lot, which this week isn't one of them. But last week, so I did a solo episode last week, and
which I still haven't watched. I need to do that.
That's fine. Don't watch it. It's okay. It's just me going, ah, no, I'm kidding. But
la,
I made
la, normal life.
I made a pineapple rum cake.
Ooh.
And I brought it to work and everyone loved it. And I was like, okay, see, I forgot how much I enjoy this. I forgot how much I do enjoy the people pleasing aspect of sharing treats.
But I think that's a way to show people that you care. And it's always just nice because you're giving them an experience.
It's kind of my acts of service situation that I like.
Yeah, am very much like that. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because right before we started this podcast, I happened to check something on my phone and found out that Anne Burrell died. And she was a celebrity chef on Food
Network. Yeah, I saw that too.
And she was my favorite celebrity chef. I don't really get...
I know what I'm missing. Sorry. I was like, I swear I'm missing something.
I don't really get, like, in awe of people too often, but Anne Burrell was such a teacher. She had the show called Worst Cooks, and granted, the first episode was very hokey every season, but every episode after that was really focused around teaching people how to cook, and in the process, teaching you, the watcher, how to cook. And so I thought that was always very interesting to me. She was actually the person who taught me how to make pasta. And so I used her pasta recipe exclusively. And I wish that I had known that way prior to this, because I would have pivoted and made homemade pasta tonight.
Well, it seems like the announcement just like came out a few minutes ago before we started recording.
Yeah, I think that was the case. I just, you know, it was one of those things where like that, I don't get super obsessed with celebrities, but there are just a few people, especially people who are focused on being these really good forces for positivity in the world, that it's just upsetting. It's upsetting to see somebody like that die so young.
Yeah, I mean, 55 was young.
Yeah. And so that's... it hit me right in the wrong way, so for a moment I had to, like, really collect myself. I was like, hey, fuck. Jesus Christ, can things just stop?
Oh, my God. I know. Just everything right now feels like... I think that's another reason I'm tired, is not only am I busy, the barrage of news about everything is just... Everything is just tiring. I mean, so fucking tired every day.
We have Israel and President Trump trying to instigate World War III. And I'm just like, what the fuck? While we're here in the U.S. dealing with our own domestic terrorists and civil unrest, and I'm just like, you guys, if we get into a war, we are in the worst spot possible for that.
Yeah. Well, and I cannot get over the similarities from history from World War II that we're witnessing.
Yeah, it really is very much that, isn't it? Except we are on the wrong side of it this go around.
I remember when people were saying that up front, I thought, you're being so dramatic. You have to stop being so dramatic and calm down. And then over time, I was like, hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now more and more things keep happening. I'm like, now I'm understanding why people are saying this, and I hate it.
It's gunking up my brain with a lot of cortisol.
And making
me super stressed.
I think it's the main reason I'm just like, you know what? You're not going to cut off drinking, because that is unfortunately an escape.
It really is. And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm trying really hard to let go of a lot of things right now, especially things that are not within my control, which happens to be a lot of the things that I worry about.
Which, that's it. Like, I'm pretty good at letting stuff that's not in my control out of the way. Like, I'm just like, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like, it's the barrage of news. Like, every day I'm having to stop my own thoughts of, like, control myself from being annoyed because I don't have control.
Yeah. Well, and you're just never going to, especially with world events like that. And, you know, election-wise, it's having a Nazi as a president, an incidental Nazi, let's just put it that way. I don't think Donald Trump really believes any of those things that he does. I think he uses them as a way to gain power over the people.
Yeah.
And so we'll call him the incidental Nazi, but
the
fascism,
political
no less.
Gain Nazi.
Yeah, exactly. And so anyways, I there's nothing I can do right now about that. Like, there's just not anything I can do directly.
Right.
And so how do I reconcile that with still existing while everything's happening? And part of it is approaching the news differently in my head, where I'm just like, I've got to be able to see it and be like, yep, what am I going to do about it? I'm just going to have to let it happen because I don't have another choice. Like there's so many things that I'm never going to have any control over. I can't control what people think. I can't control what some of these people are doing. It's just never going to happen.
Right. And that's kind of it. Like, you know, I've been like pushing to be like, hey, you know, don't let the news wear you down. And that's how I kind of handle it, is I'm just literally like, yeah, this is fucking insane. Yeah.
It's, yep. I mean, that's all you can really do is just like,
I mean, there's going to be a moment I have to fight back at something, and at least I'm aware, so that way I know when.
Yeah, I hope with all of my heart that it doesn't come to that, you know, because it's wild to me, the prospect of living in an age of potential civil war. I mean, it's sounds dramatic if you just say it, but when you look at other countries who have this level of instability internally, it's not off the table. And Tony Satchez every time. Thank you. I use that shit on everything. But yeah, it's wild to experience this stage of life and realize that it's not normal. And knowing it's not normal, but we have to navigate it because it's our sort of lot. Like, we've been dealt this hand and we aren't going to get another one.
Yeah, because it's like, why is this normal? Like, I have to adapt to this?
My cooking camera went out, so sorry about that, everybody.
Oh, you fucking broke it.
It's fine. All you'd be seeing me do is mush around some chicken, some oily chicken.
That's probably why it cut out.
Probably so. I was making a lot of slurping noises. but it is so hard in my head to reconcile because I'm a doer. I want to fix things constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And having so many large issues at large. happening, and I want to do something. I just don't know what I can do. And the more I think about it, there's nothing that I really can do.
Yeah.
And I have to learn to do what I can about what I can, which happens to be my own little, you know, circle of existence. I can stay educated and I can continue to try to live life in a way that makes me as happy as possible.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot that I'm blocking my camera. Sorry, y'all.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. My camera's completely out. You're just gonna not get it the rest of this episode. Sorry. But
yeah. And I'm just pacing now for my next episode.
Well, I'm gonna make some egg bites in the next episode. So.
Oh God, that sounds good too.
I know. Well, I'm gonna make them. I'm gonna blend it up in between episodes because. Yeah.
Because why? No, I'm kidding.
You know why. But it's been a struggle, and especially with everything that's happening politically and just the geopolitical climate as well, because now not only do we have to deal with American issues, we've got this spate of international issues that are popping up. And I'm just like, why are we even involved in most of this? And I still don't understand the relationship we have with Israel at this point. Like, why are we so bound together as if their destiny is ours? That may not be a question for this podcast, but
I was like, I understand it in a sense, but also, like, I'm not saying I understand it as in I support it. I say I understand it as why we were there.
Well, you could understand something and not support it.
Oh, right? Yeah, 100%. But
I can understand how people fall into, you know, Nazism and fascism.
That's, oh, yeah, it's super easy, especially
with the world. And then they have somebody points them in the direction of minorities.
Or it's when you stay uneducated and you decide not to educate yourself and find the similarities in history because there's correlation and causation, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, those little things.
Those tiny little factual moments that we love to ignore.
Yeah, well, you know, History is the easiest open book that nobody uses, Jay.
It's so weird. It's wild. Love it. I fucking love history.
I've also been back on Facebook.
I noticed you liked some of my stuff.
I know. I'm trying really hard because I have already fallen into a couple of those little, like, not bait posts. It's just a couple of friends who have posts where, like, friends or family on there are kind of dick bags. And you know what? I'll expand on this a little bit more in the next episode, but let's just say that I'm learning quickly that I just need to let people be awful.
There's no way you can change them. That's the thing, is they don't want to think differently. And so, like, getting involved is just like,
there's nothing you can do. You just need to let them do their thing, because you're never going to understand, especially with these random people on the internet, you're never going to understand their point of view. You're never going to understand where they're coming from and the lens which they're seeing reality.
Sorry.
It's fine. I know he's been being bad since we started this.
Oh my gosh. He's starving to death because I haven't fed him since like 8:45 this morning. And you know, that's
you're a monster
for him. I know, I'm horrible. And I even gave him a treat earlier because I was like, well, this will hold you over.
But yeah, I am quickly getting my bearings again on that and trying very hard to, like, I think I'm doing certain things as an exercise in teaching myself how to let go.
Oh, yeah. I'm still working on it, so don't feel bad.
Well, I think everybody is. I don't think it's a, you know, thing that you can just say you've done. Like, oh, I've let go of everything. Well, unless I guess you're the Buddha.
Technically, we can let go of this episode right now to start the next one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We can. Well, listeners, we'll see you next week. Or if you're here, in a few moments.
See you next week.
Bye.
And we're out of time.
Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the U.S. or Canada, or 85258 in the U.K., or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play, or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.